In times of war, honor can be a code to bind combatants within a discipline that transcends the barked orders of commissars and sergeants. Having an army that fights on principles, for a cause higher than their own beyond base zealotry, comes with many advantages. It can, additionally, provide internal structure to the lives and relationships of the warriors themselves, a code of social enforcement to maintain balance and enforce justice. But honor is fragile. It is a thing that is deceptively easy to lose. A compromise here, a concession there, and the code erodes. Sand grasped by a desperate hand. The path to damnation is paved with intentions good or ill, but the fall of the once honorable into perfidy and ruin carries a piquant tragedy all of its own. They have further to fall, more to lose. The devastation of their once honorable souls is all the greater a calamity for it. The subjects of this record epitomize this descent. Within their twisted souls is contained warped potential and squandered purity. Know then that this is a record of houses infernal and iconoclastic. The nobility most damned. A record of chaos knight houses. A knight, in the most basic terms, is a massive bipedal armored suit, over 12 meters in height. Blessed with a human form, powered by a thundering plasma reactor, and sealed against all but the most hazardous of environments, a knight suit is a tool of war, oft more deadly than a main battle tank, able to cope with a wide array of terrain with frightening agility, and capable of mounting weaponry devastatingly mundane or arcane. Their technology, though advanced, is superbly adaptable. Aside from two arm mounts capable of being outfitted with an array of super-heavy weapons, their carapace armor likewise contains hardpoints for supplementary armaments and support mechanics, all of which are shielded from incoming fire by the suit's potent ion shield. Within their armored torsos are contained a wealth of auspex and sensorium suites, with finely calibrated targeting matrices offering precision battlefield assessment capabilities, at least by the standards of human technology. For all the capabilities of a knight, often far surpassing other war machines in lethality and adaptability, they remain piloted by a single individual. This pilot, the titles of which vary by household and lineage, is bonded within the suit through a device of potent techno-arcana known as the Throne Mechanicum. Similar to mind impulse units found within other Imperial war machines, notably the Battle Titans of the Titan Legios, the throne allows for the mind of the pilot to interface with the machine. Human and suit become one, with the suit's limbs following the nerve pulses of the human brain, thus providing a far more deft and subtle level of control than the pilot of more mundane machines could ever hope to achieve. The price to be paid for such purity of connection manifests in psychostigmatic feedback earned by the pilot during combat. As a knight takes damage, so too does the human within, wounds opening up upon their flesh as their machine's hull is rent. This union is permitted via a ritual known by many names, surmised here as the Becoming. Worthy aspirants, those who have proven their fortitude, both physical and mental, through trial and tribulation, are placed within the Throne Mechanicum to bond with the machine, and commune with the device and that which dwells within. Imprints of pilots past, neural patterns retained by the dizzyingly complex technology of the throne itself, reside within the suit's systems, appearing to human perception and imagination as spectral apparitions, bringing judgment to the new prospective pilot. Flowing into the aspirant's mind via the hardwired MIU links, the psychonic remnants pry open the deepest reaches of the aspirant's mind, assessing their worthiness, scrying their most intimate memories, desires, and fears. Acolytes found wanting are consumed utterly, dropping from the throne as brain-dead husks or simply corpses. To those the ancestral specters deem worthy, the glory of being a night pilot now beckons. Human and machine become indelibly linked on levels profound, transcending the mundanely technological, a union forged within the plane of the mind and expressed through blessed mechanics. While one has elaborated fulsomely upon the history of the knightly households in a previous record, it must be restated for this one that the legacy of knight suits within human antiquity is long indeed. The devices see their origin within the ancient Dark Age of technology, in the stellar exodus that is known amongst loyalist households as the Long March. Human colony worlds, settled by those early expansive efforts, often face significant challenges, even in worlds that were nominally habitable. Climatic exigencies, hostile environments, predatory megafauna, all could pose a substantial threat to a fledgling colony. The miracle standard template construct machines that the humanity of that era possessed, however, provided the edge the settlers required. One of the earliest patterns developed by the STC system was the knight suit, perfectly usable as an all-purpose industrial machine operating in a range of terrain and climates. The knight suit could also be mounted with a wide assortment of weaponry to defend the colony against alien beasts or hostile Xenos civilizations. They proved phenomenally successful. Many border worlds of the human volume adopted them as a primary mode of defense, placing their entire security on the backs of these knight pilots. The Age of Strife brought untold ruin to this era of advancement and expansion, plunging the galaxy into conflict and despair unparalleled. Worlds now looked to their knights as their only protectors. They were bereft of the most advanced technologies that had once been available. Humanity quickly resorted to overuse of its more robust machineries and systems. Decades turned into centuries, centuries to millennia. And as they did, a curious quirk emerged in the bonding of pilot to knight suit. The longer a suit was active, passing through generations of pilots, longer living pilots began to exhibit changes in character. A sense of duty would develop, followed by increasing commitments to codes of honor and chivalry. Knight pilots began to see themselves as akin to the armored horseback warriors of old, defenders of the weak against the strong, and rightful rulers of their underlings. Knight worlds, as these planets became known, developed into feudal societies, ruled by the households of pilots, who in turn became more authoritarian, conservative, hide-bound to the traditions that were being imparted upon them by their suits. The bonding to the throne mechanicum is a lifelong commitment. While a pilot is alive, no other neural pattern is accepted by the throne mechanicum itself. The device may be transferred between suits, of course. A pilot may rise through the proverbial ranks, helming many knights before their death, but it is notable that this is only done when duty calls, or when the thirst for prestige beckons. The lineage of knight worlds and their attendant households are myriad, as are the expressions of their traditions. All share, in some form, a commitment to genetic lineage, attempting, albeit archaically, to maintain the purity of a familial line that has been deemed most compatible with their suits. Traditions of a vast spectrum uphold this. Martial, social, and religious things, all influenced by millennia of rulership and constant warfare. As one's acolytes may likely have guessed, The armor suits themselves are often ancient indeed. STC systems did not survive the Age of Strife intact. Most knight households are lucky if they possess devices capable of producing the more advanced parts of their suits, let alone full knights. Over centuries, all households developed a serf caste of technologists to maintain their suits, collectively known as sacristans. Much has been remarked of the hand of Mars's dogma in the traditions of the sacristans. While the faith of the machine cult emerged distinct from knight worlds, there is a notable parity between the near-religious worship of knight suit machineries that the sacristans exhibit and the faith of the priests of the Red Planet. Naturally, this formed a perfect point of cultural connection when, during the Great Crusade, Imperial and Mechanicum fleets alike began to make renewed contact with knight worlds. Often very eager to rejoin the burgeoning Imperium for the access to supplies and glory that the Great Crusade promised, something of a competition ended up occurring between the twin empires of Terra and Mars. Both sought the fealty of the knight worlds for the unquestionable martial might they offered. A feudal web of sister kingdoms expanded, subsuming knightly households by the hundreds, with each pledging to Emperor or Fabricator General, according to, often, who got there first. It is within the nightmares of the Horus Heresy that the birth of the first damned knight households took place. Rot may have set in further ahead of the eventual civil war. Knight worlds are feudal regimes to their core, and bonded knight households in the thrall of Mars's lost colonies often possessed atavistic and primeval traditions, venerating spiritualities or practices that the Imperial Truth no doubt sought to stamp out, but could never fully eradicate. It is a metaphysical fact that such primordial religions are often conduits to the worship of the dark gods of chaos. However unknowingly, the subjects find themselves pledged to primitive deities, ones that squat within the depths of the warp. One need only look at the evidence, fulsomely provided in many cases, of the eagerness with which certain households embraced the adoration of Horus's new patron deities. A great many more, however, were torn onto paths of damnation by the oaths of fealty they had sworn to traitor primarchs and their Astartes legions, or to turncoat Titan legios, or renegade forge worlds. Whatever the cause, all became compelled by their own immutable word to make war upon the Imperium and the Emperor whose cause they had served. That this even occurred is a testament to the nigh unstoppable power of chaos to corrupt. The Throne Mechanicum's conditioning and psycho-spiritual bonds, one that all knight pilots share, should, technically, be a ward against such exploitation. Ancient humans clearly did not wish for the power of knight suits to be wielded by those influenced by the more base aspects of human nature. It has been theorized that the imprinting of concepts of loyalty, fealty, and defense of the weak were bulwarks against the treachery of those early pilots, essentially a form of techno-social control, forcing them to defend the weak instead of using suits for personal gain. These systems that should have warded those heresy-era pilots against the pestiferous depredations of chaos proved instead to be their very downfall. Torn from their duty to Emperor by immediate loyalty to either Primarch or Forge or Legio, these first fallen pilots turned their backs upon their greater oaths with full knowledge of their betrayals. It caused their psyches to wage war against themselves, all while the geists of their ancestors, contained within the neural bond to the Throne Mechanicum, scorned them for their dishonor. The forebearer phantoms howled their anguish night and day, tortured by the actions of their selfish descendants, and torturing these selfsame descendants in kind. There was naught to stymie them. The bond between throne and pilot occurs within the depths of the mind. The throne geists, millennia old in many cases, were neural patterns unable to change, lacking any ability to process the betrayals their sacred suits were now being told to act upon. Vows impossibly old were sundered, and traitor pilots were forced to bear the weight of centuries of ancestors, fighting them at every turn, assaulted at every instant by feelings of disgrace, hatred, dishonor, and humiliation. Many simply went insane, dragged into the depths of perdition by forces and circumstances far greater than their own, compelled to follow orders they knew were shameful and degrading. The minds of many a pilot broke under the relentless, hellish dissonance, only to be rebuilt as twisted things of violence and hatred. Others, in an effort to relieve themselves of their torment, created webs of Byzantine rationalizations for their actions, forever murmuring reassurances to themselves as their forebearers heaped their detestation upon them. Others, seeing loopholes in their codes, committed themselves all the more ferociously to their traitorous assignments, jumping at any opportunity to follow the orders of Horus's legions. They who had once been paragons of virtue desecrated cities and enslaved populations of entire planets. Icons of the once beloved emperor were toppled, and in their place profane monuments were erected to glorify the cruelties of the dark gods. Worship of Horus's patrons became eagerly embraced by pilots driven mad by the howling of their ancestors. Such efforts to quell their inherent self-loathing through unthinking adherence to the traitor cause only worsened matters. Knights were compelled towards greater extremes of brutality and further depths of depravity, and with their every debased actions, the screams of their throne mechanicum only grew louder. Many slew kindred or serfs in bloodthirsty outbursts to cover their shame, or laid waste to civilian populations to slake the bloodthirst that now dwelt within them. Their tragedies and their perfidies are myriad. As the Age of Darkness consumed the galaxy, these night houses became unrecognizable as the courageous soldiers of human prosperity they once had been. Some chose to follow the route of blood, becoming incarnations of chaotic carnage seeking to drown their relentless suffering in the viscera of loyal imperial subjects. Others found their motivations and allegiances in constant tempests of instability, their souls grasping at anything that may give them a modicum of justification as the violence of the heresy consumed the human volume. Yet others sank into fetid indolence, a sort of nihilistic resignation consuming their minds and bloating their mortal forms as the warp captured new worshippers. The irrationality that embittered and devoured each Chaos Knight corroded their notions of gallantry. It transformed their throne-bitten concepts of honor and duty into wholly nightmarish new principles. Fallen nobles found vindication in the most monstrous atrocities they committed, reasoning that they had been bred to be exemplars of virtue. Every action they took must, therefore, be virtuous. Delusion. Over the years of carnage, and the centuries of damnation that would follow the defeat of the traitors at the Siege of Terra, the minds of these first fallen, alongside the malign energies of the warp that seeped into the material plane through their corrupted souls, began to permanently twist the fabric of the Throne Mechanicum systems. Those heresy-era nobility that died within their suits had their neural patterns captured by the systems of the throne like any other. and from within the depths of the machinery, they now worked to subvert the spectral echoes of their once loyal kin. These corrupted thrones would never again serve as a means to instill honor and nobility within their new pilots. Instead, they would infect and contaminate, flooding aspirants with all the psychosis, sadism, and depravity the Dark Gods demand of their thralls. Thus, in the fires of the heresy, the first iconoclast houses were born. Not all traitor houses fell in this fashion, however. Many, sworn to the fealty of the Mechanicum, were caught in the schism that tore the priests of Mars in twain, becoming now the playthings of the so-called New Mechanicum. The precise knowledge of the inner workings of the throne were beyond the ken of even the most learned of Martian magi. But this did not stop the domini of traitor forge worlds from subjecting night suits to all manner of blasphemous rituals and experiments. All attempts to harness the arcane energies of the warp within mundane technology. Thrones Mechanicum were placed within chambers designed to channel and bombard them with immaterial forces, or inject chaotic concoctions through mechadendrite tentacles. Other sects of the Fallen Mechanicum bred specifically tailored clone aspirants, seeking to create by artificial means the perfect pilot. Or others raised bloodthirsty warriors from barbarian clans that roamed outside the walls of their forges. The results of these depraved experiments were, of course, universally horrific. Countless efforts ended in abject failure, the bodies of the pilots exploding as flesh mutations ran rampant, or consumed by howling scrap code, their liquefied brain matter leaking out of noses and eyes onto piloting systems. Each failure, however, provided data. And captured records show that the New Mechanicum reveled in the perverse creativity that such a new frontier of science opened up. Magi in contact with the Word-Bearer's Legion, for example, summoned spectrophagic demons to infiltrate the neural pathways of the thrones to devour ancestral spirits within. While only a fraction of pilots survived, and in many cases Thrones Mechanicum were lost forever, those that did endure were reborn as unspeakable fusions of warp and materiel, creating the first of what the Imperium has come to term the Infernal Houses. While the Great Heresy led to the downfall of countless night houses, the years of the Age of Darkness are not the only epoch from whence traitor houses are derived. As with all levels of Imperial society, all branches of our military arms, the long millennia since the fall of the Great Crusade, have torn once loyal houses from the righteous path of the Emperor into the pits of damnation. Night worlds lying on the fringes of warp storms have been slowly transformed by the outflow of raw warp energy, become suddenly enveloped by a nightmarish tempest, only to later reemerge, dreadfully transformed. Houses in passage to war zones far afield are likewise ensnared, spat out of the immaterium years later, transfigured as horrors of flesh and steel. Others have slowly succumbed to one path or other of the myriad of corruptions that assail any good and just Imperial subject. Decades of carnage may lead to some seeing duty as synonymous with bloodletting, providing a crack through which the blood god may usurp their chivalry, blinding even their ancestral gestalt to the corruption now festering within. While it is rare for loyal knights to fall to baser instincts, it is not impossible for a noble culture to become ensnared by perverse desires, thirsting for glory, or desire for forbidden knowledge. The Dark Pantheon is vast. The greater intelligences, whose gaze spans all of time and space, are able to catch, in fleeting regard, even for an instant, deeds that are ghastly indeed. Even a single step upon the road of soul ruin risks staining the perpetrator's spirit forevermore. The corruption of pilot and throne, no matter when it occurs, seeps out from the knight's heart like a rot. The machine spirits of its various systems are thus likewise corrupted, turned to the chaotic will of the pilot. As with all blessed machinery that feels the warping touch of immaterial energies, the sacred suit of knight armor finds itself transformed and twisted, becoming as blasphemous parodies of their lost nobility. Within, the fallen noble feels their flesh mold and meld with their suit, neurons parasitized by tentacular dendrites to better assert their will over the machine, limbs fusing within their throne metal. Eventually, they may lose any hint of human form, their body peeling open like a hideous flower, shedding layer after layer as the knight suit consumes them utterly. Chaos Knights all tend to take on a savage and horrific mien. The longer the knight feels the touch of the Dark Pantheon's domination, the worse it becomes. Internal mechanisms erupt through their outer armor layers, jutting forth as irregular spikes that bleed oil and unguent. Gun muzzles develop teeth. Once powerful fists twist into claws of vicious cruelty. In many cases, the predatory nature of the pilot warps the legs of the machine into new digitigrade configurations. Heresy, of course, to the sacred plantigrade formation of both humanity and our loyal knight suits. Known to the Imperials as abhorrent class knights, these monstrosities are fusions of flesh and metal and ill intent, loping like megafauna across the battlefield in search of slaughter and ruin. A certain uniformity of these design expressions has led the Ordo Hereticus and the Mechanicus to speculate that the Dark Mechanicum has developed STC systems, or iterations of said, to produce abhorrent class knights for the infernal and iconoclast houses. This is, of course, presuming acknowledgement of their presence. There are several bodies and ideologies within the Imperium that outright deny the existence of Chaos Knights, stating that such a fall is impossible. Many knight houses are counted amongst these deluded, stringently refusing to believe any of their kin would possibly fall under the sway of the Primordial Annihilator, taking any suggestions of said as the gravest of insults. Several internecine doctrinal conflicts have broken out amongst Mechanicus Forge worlds, where such opposing bodies exist. It is, of course, the policy of the Inquisition that such denial is delusion. The forces of the Fallen Houses are widespread and well documented. Loyalist houses that deny this often find themselves under close inquisitorial scrutiny. Perchance the loyal doth protest too much. The Ordo Hereticus contains many inquisitors who dedicate their life's work to the study and prosecution of Chaos Knight houses, penning many a grimoire upon the subject of their destruction. As, when a house falls to the Dark Gods, they abandon most all of their millennia-old doctrines of armament and warfare, in favor of each individual pilot's preferred means of murder. These litanies of damnation, however, must be explored at a later date. For now, one must rest. It is never a good thing to expose oneself to too much chaotic heresy for too long. Until then, Ave Imperator. Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @oculusimperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.